Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Cambridge Vineyard. My name is Margaret Ellen Horrocks, and I am a member of the senior leadership team here at the Vineyard. For those of you that don't know, this is my friend Christine Lakatos. Love you so much. Actually, I should say Pastor Christine Lakatos, who is also the director and pastor downstairs for Urban Hope Ministries. All right, so Christine is going to be sharing this morning. So bless you today, Christine, as you share your message with us. And I pray for open hearts and a response from all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Light it up. Yes, I am a pastor here. And I'm not saying this to toot any harm because I don't, my identity's in Jesus. But I have been here 35 years. That's a long time. So I've seen a lot of seasons take place, right? Came in 1989. It's a long time ago. And the Lord has not released me from here. If anything, he causes me to go deeper. I mean, I've done missions and stuff, but I've always had, the Lord's always led us back. So I feel, again, that we are going to lay some foundations, all right? We need some foundations to go forward. And I felt the Lord say, and I've said this a time, we're, you know, redigging some wells, okay? Redigging some wells, baby, right? And back to the basics. Genesis 26:18, it says how Isaac took his family on a journey, and on the way, his servants, they redug the wells of his father Abraham. Okay? Redigging the wells is so important. And they realized that deep underneath the ground was a supply of water contained. And as it says in Isaiah 55:1, it says, the well to become a place of encounters. We have to go back to move forward, right? And we were doing that a lot, you know, in the season we just went through, which was a rich season. But every time we enter into a new season, we go, Lord, what does this look like, right? So now we're in a new season, and it's returning back to that inheritance and the foundations and the movement of our values so that we can move forward, right? And we know the scriptures. Jesus is our cornerstone. He is the one we stand on. So when the winds and the sand, and we can't stand on the sand, when everything hits us, man, that's who we stand on. He is our strength. He is our great reward. He's our everything. So as in Revelation, we know in Revelation, he's talking to the church, but this is Revelation 4. They all look so good, right? But I want to come back to the things that we did at first. That flavor of him out of the first love. We've been loving God. We've been loving God so much, right? But he says, right now, it's a new season, so let's go and see some of the things we did at first, and let's call it forth so the new springs can come forth too. Okay? I see some heads going, yeah. It's awesome. So Lord, what does this look like? And I know, Scott, what a blessing for him to be here. What a blessing going to have Dave next week. Right? Our leader over the Cambridge, all of Canada, Vineyard. And then after that, which I'm going to talk about more, is Steve Stewart. He's going to be here, and I'm going to explain more to him. He's coming on the 10th, right after that. So I think how prophetic this is that we have Scott here. Then we're going to have Dave, and there's Steve there, that are our founder fathers. Wow. Woo. Come on. So you're looking at John. So I look at John Wimber, and I saw that, you know, when he was pastoring this Quaker church in California, and then he resigned, and he was traveling around widely, and he was experiencing many different movements and seeing many different denominations, and the Holy Spirit was increasing, and being on his forefront, and then he would just sob. You made me know some of those stories, and he sobbed, and he called his wife Carol, sobbing, and this is when he's not a pastor. He's not a Vineyard pastor yet. And he says to her, if God ever has me pastor a church again, I pray we will devote ourselves to the poor. Guys, this is our foundation, not just Cambridge Vineyard. This is the foundation. This is the roots of who we are. Okay? Yeah, there's some others to dig up. We have worship too. right? But this is one of the main ones. That foundation had, it had effect on the vineyard as a whole in its philosophy concerning the ministry to the poor. This is a rich inheritance, guys. This is our roots. This is the well we're going to drink from. Okay? We're going to spring up a well, splish, splash within my soul, spring up the well. Woo-hoo! We're going to get into that spring. All right? It's time to stir it up deeper. Amen? Amen. Come on. Come on. Shake that bush. You know, so when I first came here back in 89, Dale Bolton was our first pastor. Dale Bolton was just passing the baton to Steve at that time. When I showed up, nice 17-year-old teeny bopper. Right? It came out of the Pentecostal church. And you know what was so powerful is when I came here, and I love, you know, the rich inheritance I received from the Pentecostal church. But what I learned here is, man, I learned how to hear God's voice. I remember the first time I actually saw a vision in when I was hanging out with our the youth. Well, I brought a ton of people from the church over here. Anyhow, so all the youth, Kylie was one of them. Anyhow, and my husband, who we were dating at the time, but he always followed me wherever I went, seemed like. So that was powerful, right? I was learning as a sheep, we hear his voice, period. We hear his voice. I'm actually teaching that downstairs, how much we hear his voice, right? The different ways we hear God's voice. Because not only do we feed the poor that come in and then downcast, you know, we give them all the food and the clothing, but let us encourage each other. Let's give words from God. Let's pray for each other. My spirit needs to be fed. 2 weeks ago, I got someone that prophesied for me, and I sure needed it at that time. You know, spoke into a situation that person didn't know, right? It's important, right? So I'm excited to say that even as Steve Stewart, my husband wanted to continue to say, like, we were his disciples, right? We were teeny boppers at that time. So Steve Stewart's going to be here. So here's the announcement. November 10th, he's coming. I know he's going to flip some things over. He's pretty radical. He's been doing the Impact Nations for a long time, right? He left here. Well, he pastored from 1988 to 1995. That's when he pastored here. So I want to share a teaching that Steve Stewart really impacted me back in, you know, the very beginning of this vineyard, the Cambridge Vineyard. He talked about in Matthew, and if you pull up some of his teaching, he talks about this. But Matthew 4, it talks about what Jesus said to Peter and Andrew. And it's just simple. He said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They knew how to fish in the natural. He said, I'll make you fisher of men. And come follow me, because that's the job I have for you. It was there for this great season and purpose. They dropped everything and they came and followed Jesus. They didn't know who Jesus was yet, right? They just dropped everything, went and followed. Because Jesus didn't say, come, we're going to church. I'm not putting down church, boys and girls. We need church. We need to gather. But he didn't say that to the very first apostles. Come follow me. Jesus did not even say, come follow me and I'll lead you to the Father. He didn't. He said, or come follow me and I'll heal your heart. Think about this, right? But guess what happened? As they followed Jesus, they encountered the Father. They encountered the healing and their hearts got healed as they followed Jesus. Ooh, so I would say, you know, I know in the very beginnings, because I hang out. It started as a small group, right? But what the vineyard here, but how they started, they went out on the streets first. They servant evangelized, which I can explain later, whatever the Lord led them. And then they came back and they had a time of worship and a time of testimony and a time of celebration. And then a time of teaching. That's the roots that we flow from. Did you guys know that? I know you guys knew that. But that's the roots we flow from. This is our foundations. So I just want to share, you know, in 2 Corinthians, it says, now all of these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Every single one of you, if you've given your life to Jesus, you are called a reconciliation to bring people to Jesus. Every single one of you. Namely, that God was Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their wrongdoings against them. He committed to us the word of reconciliation. I'm not here to point out people's sin. I mean, when I'm in relationship, we work on that. Don't get me wrong. That's relational, right? But people need to know the kindness of our God. What does the word of God say? It's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to salvation, right? God sees why that person's struggling in sin. He sees the deep root of the cause. And he wants us to go into that root and let his love heal that root. Right? He's such a good God. I've seen it many and many times. Right? So the foundations, I think of Steve. Okay, many times I loved it because we're constantly out. Oh my gosh, we did so much servant evangelism, right? And God is stirring this up again. We've done some, but it's like, I remember one time, again, teeny bopper, you get a job, whatever is given to you, right? And I was one of those calling people. I don't remember what I was selling, some tickets or maybe it was vacuums. I can't even remember at the time, right? It was just one of those teeny bopper jobs. And they give you the phone book and they give you a list of names to go down in Cambridge. I know that seems old because we don't even use phone books anymore, but, right? And I wasn't even looking on who I was calling. I'm just doing my little routine on the phone, and I ended up calling Steve. And he's like, Christine, I'm so glad you're calling me. Are we on for tonight? Are we going out? You know what I mean? It was like constantly, we're hitting up this street tonight. Are you coming? Right? It was in our DNA. We would do free car washes. It was just in our DNA. My husband and I got up bright and early. I imagine Steve Stewart's going to talk about when he comes. 4 o'clock or something, 4:30. We were making coffee and hot chocolate. And we went down to where they meet to trade cars off to go. Carpool to offer drinks for them in the morning and pray for them and bless them. Right? Simple things, guys. It's not always have to be difficult. Right? And then my buddies and I, when we would hang out, we would go rake people's leaves. Right? Oh, let's just grab a rake. Let's go rake people's leaves. Knock on the door. Can we bless you today? Rake some leaves. And before we know it, they're inviting us in for dinner. And we end up praying for them. These are the things we got to get back into our DNA. Because that community belongs to us in the body of Christ. Okay? This is a vineyard. Not Urban Hope, vineyard. It's our DNA. It's our roots. That's all we knew, right? And we all know, if you've been here long enough, what's one of our main value of scriptures? Tell me. Speak it out. Isaiah 61. What's the core of Isaiah 61? What's the true meaning of it? Mm-hmm. Hear all that? We are anointed. Every single one of you are anointed. Guess what? It's not about just you. You are anointed. Gideon in the Bible. God put him on like a glove. He was anointed. He put you on like a glove. Because it's about him. Right? He does not work for me. I work for him. Right? This is a scripture that I've already preached on many times. But I'm going to go through Isaiah 58 today, okay? The fast one, because it partners with Isaiah 61. So let's start with the first verse, if you have it out there. And it says, cry loudly and do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Help my voice, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And declare to my people, this is tough, wrongdoing. And that wrongdoing means transgression. And to the house of Jacob, their sin. Okay. You know what? Sin. What's sin? Sin is missing the mark, right? It's missing the righteousness of Christ. It's self in need. Sin. I mean, we all do it, right? But as a believer, we're sinless because God's righteousness is in us, right? But the wrongdoing here actually means transgression. That's more of a serious word. Well, it's a serious act. You know it is a sin, but yourself meditate on it and choose to do it anyway. That is transgression. It's like, I'm over here with God. I'm going to cross the line. But I know if I ask for repentance and forgiveness, God will forgive me and I can get back over. That is serious. And this is what he's talking about here. And I understand when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, all his righteousness is inside of us, but there's still habitual stuff that needs to be dealt with, right? And that comes through intimacy and closeness with him. But I do want to say, because the scripture does cover it, in Romans 6, 1 to 2, it says, so what do we do then? Do we persist in sin so that God's kindness and his grace will increase? What a terrible thought. We have died to sin once and for all. As a dead man passes away from this life, so how could we live under sin's rule for one moment longer? That means we're not enslaved to sin anymore. Do we have moments? Right? Come on. But we're not enslaved to it. We are as free people, it says in 1 Peter 2:16. Act as free people. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it because we are a bond servant of God. I looked up what bond servant meant. One owned by another. Powerful. They do not have anything of their own. Even their time belongs to their master. They wake up each day seeking to know and do the will of the master. That's what a bondservant is. We are a bondservant, but it sets us free. I want to say, yes, God is my friend. He's my lover. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He is my Lord first. He is my Lord first. And I cannot go into that friendship love spot without going into his lordship there first. He's not just my Savior. He is my Lord. And that's the difference. That is the difference. It shakes me to my bones, but it's true. God is, again, it's not that he's on Christine Lacatus's team, my self team. I'm on his team. I work for him. But get it, I'm going to do this Ephesians scripture, but understand, this Ephesians, everybody's got their word with them. 3:19-20, it says, and it's the Passion series, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive is it? Endless love, beyond measure, that transcends our understanding. We can't understand this, man. It's way too much for our human minds to grasp. It's like, whoa, it's extravagant love that he doesn't just dribble. He lavishes it. He pours it out. He's a full God. He pours it, right? Until we are filled, overflowing with the fullness of God. I'm bondservant to that, honey. Right? Never doubt God's mighty power that works in you and accomplishes all he will achieve infinitely. What does infinitely mean? You can't measure it. Infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, he will exceed your wildest imagination. Man, he just keeps going. Right? Your wildest imagination. He will undo them all because of his miracle power that's constantly in you to energize you. Dude, I go out there. I like what Bill John said once. I go out there and give a God a pebble. And He makes me a beautiful diamond or a gem that has divine cuts that you can't even see on this earthly realm. Right? Yeah. This is dying to self, but he is so good, you can't fathom it. Ah, taste and see that our Lord is good. This is why we share the gospel, because it's good news. People are in bondage. They need to know that they have a God that intimately loves them, that's thought of them before the foundations of this world. He has a plan and purpose that is good, right? To prosper them, to send them forth. So in verse 2 of Isaiah 58, it says, "Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways. As a nation, as a church, as a people that has done righteousness and has not forsake the ordinance of their God, they ask me for decisions. They delight in the nearness of God." So this is what they look like, right? This sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, if you look at it face value. Come on, we go to church. We celebrate God. It's good. We need to go to church. Do you understand? But I am the church. I am the church. Not only that, where does God live? In us, right? And God is heaven. God doesn't just live in heaven. Heaven is God. And if heaven is God, then heaven lives inside of me all the time. All the time, right? So, looking good. That's what he's saying. Man, I read my Bible every day. Woohoo. I even approach you, God. I pray over my food. Good things, right? They're not bad things. But it became a routine relationship. Have you ever had moments where it feels like a routine? You're just doing the stuff, baby. Just doing the stuff. And there's time we have to do the stuff. Of course. You know, I'm raw, man. There's times I'm raw. I'm not feeling it. I get my Bible, I get the worship out, right? I get it. But it's depending on your heart attitude. There's a difference when you're just doing the stuff, but you ain't living it. Do you get what I'm getting at? Routine. Routine. You know, routine life, year after year, the same experience, the same experience. Take me home now, right? Right? That's not what God has called us. That's called religion. We are not religion. Praise God. Right? We are more than that. You know, again, as God lives inside of us, you know, I think of the Israelites. All right? You know how many days it would have took to get to the promised land? I know some of you Bible people know how many days it was if they didn't go circling around for years. 11 days. It was an 11-day journey to get to the promised land. How long were they in the desert? 40 years. And who actually entered into the promised land? Their children. And Joshua and Caleb, because they were of a different spirit. That's scary. That's a wake-up call. Because God has a promised land for you and me and for us corporately. As a family, he does. He died on the cross for us to have it. As a Jesus lover, I don't want us to miss our promised land. And we can live it right now, right this moment. Why did the Israelites go around and round in circle? Well, that's a 6-week series, maybe longer. Right? But we know it was a disobedience, unbelief. And you know what? They end up being unusable to God. What good is that? Scary. And you know what's wild? They had the prophets. They had the miracles. We're not even walking in the intense miracles that they had. Right? Scary. That's a wake-up call. I mean, the gospel says it doesn't come with just words. It comes with signs and wonders. That wakes me up all the time. It really does. It shakes my boat, you know, shakes me. Right? We need to be praying. We need to be calling forth as it is in heaven because Jesus' atonement has conquered it all. And we have a dying world out there. You know, I was at a funeral this week of an 18-year-old who overdosed. I met him and his girlfriend when they're at 150 Main. 16 years old. I offered to pay for them to go to Teen Challenge. They wouldn't take it. It was awful, guys. His mother's an addict. His sister's an addict. And who is the answer? In us. In us. All of us as a family. I've walked through so many horror stories with people. I need you guys. Can't do this alone. I got some of my peeps here. But we're all peeps together. It's time for us. And this is what we're sending. We're getting rid of that line upstairs, downstairs. That was great for the season. It was. We needed it. But it's a different season now. Guys, our numbers are growing like crazy that we're feeding. The need out there is crazy. My phone doesn't shut up and I can't keep up with it. We still do Cobb's Bakery pickup. Dude, it would last to the end of the week and then we'd have to throw out the moldy stuff. Guess what? It's gone in a day. And then we get massive food, bread from Freshco, and it's gone. Not only the food need, we know the housing and the desperateness. It's heartbreaking. And we're the answer. And this is the call, not just on Urban Hope, on the Vineyard. So this is what I'm calling us to. Because this Isaiah 58 is Isaiah 61. And it's time for us to just not be routine believers. It's a wake-up call, okay? Wake-up call for me. And this is another foundation thing that John Wimber said. He says, I'm a spare change in the pocket of God, and he can spend me any way he wants. That's our forefather. I'm not worshiping John Wimber, but I'm telling you the roots that it comes from, okay? He can spend me any way he wants. Once he's Lord, he owes me nothing. I owe him everything. Number 3, verse 3, it says, why have we fasted and you don't see me? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice, God? Behold, on the day of your fast, you have your own desires, your desires, and you oppress the workers. You know what? This is nothing. We treat God like a vending machine. I'm going to put my coin in there, baby, and I'm going to get out what I want. He's not a vending machine. God, again, I owe him. We owe him every day of our life. The day of fast, you had your own desires. And when of self is in the center of our solar system, guess what? It will always be unfulfilling. It will be. Right? When our self is the center of our solar system, we have moments. We all do. Come on. Apart from Christ, we're selfish. In Christ, I have my moments too, right? Come on. There's 3 fingers at me. But I'll tell you one thing. I like this from Brother Lawrence. He says, that more and more love for him increases in me. Everything I do, then sin does not have an issue anymore in my life. The more and more my eyes are on him. The more and more I fall in love with him, those things I do not desire anymore. Right? That's how we lead people into Jesus. Falling in love with him. So I want us to enter in to the promised land. And you know, a fast, a true fast, you know, I've had my times of fasting. Not always fond of it, right? But then I am fond of it, right? I love it. But you know when God shares his heart with you, it breaks you. And then you don't want to eat. That's a different kind of fasting. How about you're so much in love with him that you'd rather him supply you than that food? And I've been so weak where I'm about to faint, right? I'm pretty sure some of us have been there. Right, Lord, if you don't show up, I am so weak, right? Because we are to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. We give him our strength because he's got a supply. that's a fast. We're giving him our supply of strength for him to supply. Jeremiah 2:2. Go preach this message publicly for all Jerusalem to hear. Yahweh says to you, I fondly remember the single-hearted devotion, the covenant love you had for me deeply as a bride loves a bridegroom. You followed me closely in the desert, in the land where the crops grew. You know what revival is? Guys, you know what true revival is? Loving Jesus. That's true revival. Being in love with him. Talking with him all day, going to bed, talk with him, walking with him. And I love Brother Lawrence, right? He says, loving him as much all day, for all times, for every hour, for every minute, even the heights of busyness, driving away from my mind anything that was capable of interrupting thoughts of loving him. We can do this, guys. That's the call on our lives. And out of that call, he puts me in the seasons of things. And that's okay. Because my identity's not in the season. My identity's in this. Do I want to go back out and do massive missions while I'm doing it here? But I went to YWAM with my daughter and went to Norway. And boy, it sure poured up that mission thing in me. Right? And I believe the Lord's going to open up more. But the reality is, whether I do or I don't, I'm already fulfilled. Because he's my great reward. He's my great treasure. Whew. You know, I think of Mary at Bethany, right? She poured all that oil. And everybody's like, yo, what are you doing, man? That was a year's wage. It was a year's wage. Right? I get it. Dude, you're going to pour all that money. We need that money for Urban Hope. I get the mindset. I get it. But guess what happened? She came out smelling like Jesus. Why do we have money? For his kingdom. It's for him. And he will accelerate it. He wants to take it from the wicked and give it to the righteous, but we got to make sure we're using it for him. Right? And we're blessed. I mean, I'm not saying they're wicked. I'm not saying that. We're so blessed. But we have companies blessing us. Right, we've had Starbucks give us a huge chunk of money. We've had Turks to Lumber. We've had these companies blessed, let alone all the Coles Night of the Year stuff. Right? It's coming in. You know, I just had the mayor come and talk to me downstairs because she heard about us and all the great things we're doing, and she needed to come talk and see. This was word of mouth from the people we're loving and serving. Right? But I need all of you guys. This is our inheritance. This is our promised land. And we need to go in together. We need to go in together. Oh, I have to say a little comment again from Bridler Lawrence. He says, willing that he, God, shall pour through my steps as I walk. Willing that he would direct my words as I speak. And in the very jaw I eat. Dude, this guy's a guy, you know. He's a guy. He's that intimate with Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. This is what we're called to. Just thinking about him, loving him, and what we do. It's a call on our lives. Verse 6, a fast that God has chosen. To release the bonds of wickedness, to undo the ropes of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free. And break every yoke. In Psalms 82, 3-4, it says, Defend the defenseless, the fatherless, the forgotten, the disenfranchised, the dissolute. Your duty is to deliver the people, deliver the poor and the powerless, liberate them from the grasp of the wicked. Guys, I see the wicked and what it does to people. It is the epitome of evil. I can't even say some of this stuff. That is our job. To set them free from the grasp of the wicked. Jesus came to what? Destroy the works of the enemy. And he's given it to us to do it. I'll tell you, love gets through anything. Love is the greatest form of warfare. It gets through a closed door. It would get through that door underneath the crack. Love is the greatest form of warfare. And you have to be close to God to walk in that love. Because my guys know, they get in that bin, they pee in the bin, they rip everything out. Whatever, we have stories all the time, right? Whatever it is, we do it unto the Lord. If we did unto them, our heart stinks, doesn't it? We do it unto the Lord. And he keeps our heart right. Learn, Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. Learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, and the justice of, and justice for the orphan. And it goes on to say, one who oppresses the poor actually insults his maker. One who's gracious to the poor honors his maker. That's powerful, guys. Proverbs, one who gives to the poor will never lack anything, but the one who shuts his ears and his eyes will have a curse. Whoever closes his ears to the cry of the poor, him himself will cry out and not be answered. He will be ignored in his own time of need. This is the call in our lives, guys. I don't know, but when I'm in a time of need, I need my God. I need my God all the time. I would not want him to ignore me. I had a dream last week. And in the dream, I see it. I don't know, it was my kid, granddaughter, I don't know. But it was taken from me, from people I trusted. And they all were like, I don't know, I don't know. I woke up from that dream feeling the rawness that my people feel. They don't know when they're going to get that call if their kid's still alive. They wait by the phone. I felt so much pain as I laid there in bed. And I said, God, where are you? I'm in so much pain right now. I felt the pain. And I started praying for everybody. And I started praying for those I know they've lost. I know the struggle, you know, and then I fell asleep. But I'll tell you one thing. If you don't have God, I understand why you're on drugs. You can't function in that pain. You can't. It's so painful. And we're the answer. We are. Verse 7, is it not to break your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. That guy panhandling up there, do you know him? I don't. I'm just asking you, ask Jesus what he wants you to do. He's in our community and he belongs to us. And then this is the promised land, boys and girls. This is it. Are you ready? This is what is promised to us if we walk this out. Then your light will break out like the dawn and your recovery will spring up quickly. That means healing. We all need some form of healing. And your righteousness will go forth before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard and protect you from harm. I think that sounds pretty good, and that seems like a really good part of a promised land to me. Don't you think? Yeah. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. There we go. You will cry for help, and guess what? He says, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Can't get better than that. Psalms 32:8. Says, I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you. I will instruct you and guide you along the path for your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes that will guide you. It's called intimacy. Into me you see, but it's intimacy, right? You know, and then it goes on to say, if you remove the yoke in the midst and pointing of the fingers and speaking wickedness. And if you offer your body in compassion to the hungry, what did the scripture say about Jesus? Everything he did. In compassion. In compassion. Even when he kicked the guys out of the temple, it was righteous compassion. You come against his love, that's where wrath comes. Because it hindered his love. Compassion meaning suffer with. I have this as my my vision statement downstairs. It says, and when we identify with the suffering of the vulnerable around us, it actually makes us come alive into a whole different kind of connection relationship with Jesus. Truly, we are called to embody his compassionate heart towards the lost, the poor, and the down and out. That's what we're called to. Sanctifying the need of the afflicted, as the scripture goes on. And then your light will rise in the darkness. Do you want some light in those dark moments? I do. This is promised to us as we walk this out. And your gloom will become like midday splendor. Verse 11, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desires in a scorched, not so good places, and give you strength in your bones, and you will like be a watered garden. This is really good, isn't it? And this is not even the greatest version. Do you know what I mean? So I'm explaining a little depth here, but it's still getting to the point. And like a spring of water whose waters will not fail. You will not fail. That spring up the well, baby, it's not gonna fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you will rise up, age-old foundation, and you will be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets and the dwelling places, and I would say of your community. Isaiah 61 says the same thing, that we will rise up, and those that have, most of my volunteers have come in not from the church. Some are, some aren't, but they've came to be loved. We love each other. Right? We love each other. And yes, and they serve through that love. And we're a community. And you know, just like here we prayed for the kids, it takes a village to raise a child. I know that as I'm trying to raise my granddaughter, you know, like, right? You need people. You need loving people around you. So it takes a church. It takes a family. We are a family. We are a village. We are his bride, and we need to come together. It says that we are to be the hands and feet of Jesus to our community, right? That's what it says. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared. Prepared. We don't have to try to. He's already prepared it beforehand, so that we would walk in them together. Together. Yeah. We are the solution to the bigger part. Something bigger and much bigger is for us to walk in. We don't do this alone because we are a family. I'm going to confess, I feel so loved by the people that come and help serve. But I feel a little alone. I need us all together, okay? And we're going to work on that because it's for all of us, because we're all the bride. You know, what if I wake up one morning, because it says in scripture that our body, the hand belongs to the body, the foot belongs to the body. What if I wake up one morning, my feet go, not into it today, taking a day off. What does that mean for me? I'm crawling around, honey. I'm not getting very far, am I? I need you. We need each other. We are a body because you're touching people and you have a gift that I don't have. And I love everybody's different gifts. I love it. Right? How are we going to grow together? You are well needed. Every one of you. I don't care if you're a little finger. You're needed. Right? So we are in Jesus. In our lives are for him. To start this out, Tav approached me. She said, so we want to shift Sundays Guys, ready for this? We want to shift Sundays to Wednesday nights so that we're together. Okay? We are going to come and make one day of Sabbath. I understand for those that know scripture that the Sabbath is already in us because Jesus is in us. But this is a day focused on just worshiping God. We're not just giving out food and all that. He's our main food and we're going to do it together. One day that we're going to focus together as one big bride. All right? Worshiping our God, loving him. So you're going to have people up here that are going to be smelly. I'm just calling a spade a spade. I hug the smelly ones. Could be Jesus you're hugging. Okay? Because we need to be one. Anybody want to say anything? Amen? Amen? That's what we're sensing. We're a family, and I need you. My guys need you, and you need them. And we need to be one. Okay, this is the call, not just on Urban Hope. I know you guys know this, but now we're knowing it. Okay? It's a call to the Cambridge Vineyard. It's called to the vineyard. It's called to the Bride of Christ. But we are earmarked for this. This is going back to the basics and to flow into the newness. We got to lay our foundation and stand on it. Okay, guys? For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. We are confident, and that's why Christ Jesus has started a good work in us from the day we were first birthed. And he will complete it. So let's jump in together, because we're not just church, we're family. Right? I need you. I can't tell you how many of you out here have spoken into my life when I needed it. I need you. I'm a simple lover of Jesus that just wants to glorify him in everything we do. And many of us, that's who we are. Are we going to have challenging times? Come on. Of course. God promises that we are. But he's with us. His purposes aren't done yet. My emotions that are stirring up, he has a purpose for them. Because he's not done with me in the situation. Because there's always victory in him. He turns what is evil around for good. And I see that even though I go through the most brutalist funerals. And I see the most brutalist abuse. But I also see when someone lays and gives it to Christ, how he turns it around. Because that's the God we serve. He turns the plans of evil to good. We can't do that, but we can give it to him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.